60 points in a game, I should say. And their offense has scored points. They just can't hold anyone else from doing it.
Right.
Griffin may go off for 150 tonight.
It's entirely possible. Entirely possible. Well, we're going to talk Ohio State right now with a man who called last Saturday's upset about a month ago. Dunny had mentioned, oh, you better watch out for Purdue. Ohio State always has a tough time playing at Ross-Age Stadium in West Lafayette. I laughed hysterically because Purdue had been beaten by Eastern Michigan earlier in the year. I thought there's no way in the world. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, you get to gloat, my friend, about how you called this upset.
Well, it's not exactly gloating because the Buckeyes did unfortunately lose. However, you know, it was just a meeting of everything that the Buckeyes couldn't do, especially in the fourth quarter, came to fruition. They missed tackles. They couldn't run the ball. They could pass the ball decently, but they couldn't get the ball in the end zone when they were in the red zone. And when you're going 0-for-3 for touchdowns in the red zone, and you even miss a field goal from the red zone, that hurts. Then you look at the other side of the ball, and like I said last week, David Blau, DJ Knox, and Rondale Moore. Everybody in the Big Ten and the rest of the country found out their names if they didn't know them already on Saturday night. And I think, especially Rondale Moore, he will be a pain for the next 2 or 3 years in the Big Ten.
Going to be interesting to see what Purdue does against Sparty this weekend. Sparty, of course, is coming off a bad loss. And if you heard the Fox Sports update there a couple minutes ago, they're being fined $10,000 by the Big Ten for their stormtrooper charade. And I think both sides were definitely wrong in all of that. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. Boy, you know, that's a lot of points to surrender to Purdue. They coughed up 49, Dunny. Can the defensive issues be resolved during this bye week?
I think some of them can be. I don't think all of them can be. There's a lot there. You know, Greg Schiano talked to the media yesterday. You know, the Buckeyes missed, to his count, the Buckeyes missed 20 tackles. That's never happened since Schiano's been at Ohio State. He doesn't know if that's ever happened at Ohio State, period. He said that he believes half of those tackles occurred in the fourth quarter. When you look at the three big plays of the fourth quarter, the two DJ Knox runs, and especially the touchdown by Rondale Moore to seal it at the end to make it 42, you know, they had Buckeyes were right there, and they couldn't barely tackle themselves, let alone tackle Purdue on those three plays. The issue as far as the linebackers playing too close to the line, you know, that's an issue, you know. That's a scheme thing that the Buckeyes, I think, are working out. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that again. You know, the big thing for me is just switching the coverages. Everybody in the Big Ten, everybody knows in the country that the Buckeyes are a man-to-man team. And you know, they press their corners. Well, if you press your corners and play a cover two or a cover three once in a while, that's going to change up the offense that gets thrown at you. So that might be a quick fix. Some other stuff, I don't know if it can get fixed in a week. Some scheme things, I don't know if it can get fixed in a week. But, you know, they have a couple games to improve before they face a tough Michigan State team and then obviously a tough Michigan team.
Were they just sort of outed right there, in your opinion? Do you think maybe we had a little bit too high expectations for the Buckeyes coming into the season here?
I don't know if it was too high expectations. The expectations are always high at Ohio State.
You think that's still a playoff team?
Do I think that's a playoff team? They can still make the playoffs. Are they a playoff team? In my opinion, no. Yeah. I think they would get bit by everybody in the top four right now. Yeah. I think they would. Bama would. I don't think Tua would play in the fourth quarter against Ohio State right now.
Wow. Okay. It's gotten that bad, apparently. And look, I mean,
and that's not to say it's bad. That's not to say that the Buckeyes are bad. The Buckeyes are a very good team. I think they fell appropriately to, you know, 9 for the coaches, 11 in the AP. I think that's perfect where they fell. But you're talking about the number one team in the country. You're talking about Clemson, who's number 2 or 3. Notre Dame has looked very well. I think the Buckeyes could give Notre Dame a fight. And if you play that game 10 times, I think the Buckeyes might win 3 or 4 times. But I think Notre Dame takes the overall kick.
Mm. Donnie, what do you make of the alleged turnover, the alleged turmoil amongst the coaching staff? I mean, are there reports out there? Is it anything more than usual after a loss?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're always going to hear that stuff, especially after a loss. It's just rare for Ohio State because Ohio State under Urban Meyer have only lost, what, 8 times? Now, granted, the last 2 losses have not been good losses. The minute that the Purdue loss is, to me, felt all right because, you know, going into it, I figured it would be a trap game. The Iowa loss last year, nobody in their right mind expected that. I don't think Iowa fans expected that one. And to lose like they did by 29 points, 49-20, on this past Saturday, that was the shocking thing to me. I expected maybe a 1-2 point win by Purdue, not a 29-point win. And so the coaches had to go back and look at themselves. The coordinators didn't go out recruiting like they would normally do. They had to stay back and get stuff going for this team to get better. I think they can do it. Now the question is, will the players accept all the changes?
See, all right, well, while we're on that topic.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's as big of a deal, and I think that's part of what you may have been getting at there, that there maybe isn't a whole lot more to this than I think was originally reported. And here's why I say that. Ohio State's got a million different coaches, like most big Division I programs do. So yeah. What if the coordinators don't go recruit on a bye week? They've got a million different people on staff that can do that. And as the coordinators, I don't know, shouldn't they be focusing on trying to get better next week as opposed to going out and traveling and trying to find the next big thing?
And normally I would agree with you, but for this year and last year and for going forward, this early signing period that is in December is that has become the new signing day.
Yeah.
You know, so when you had signing day in February, yeah, you could afford to keep your coordinators back in the house and try to improve and get ready for another game in 2 weeks. But with this early signing period in December, it makes things very different and very important because this is when you're going to get 20 out of your 23, 24 signees is this period right here.
Yeah, I would think that idle week is when you want coordinators to go off and do that recruiting because you don't have anyone coming up this Saturday. And then they got Nebraska. Nebraska killed Minnesota last week. Is there any concern that maybe they've got something going now with Scott Frost?
I don't like to, you know, count my chickens before they roost or however that saying goes. But Nebraska has Bethune-Cookman this weekend as part of a makeup from their rained out game or weathered out game to begin the season against Akron. So you don't like to think they'd be 2 wins in a row, but let's face it, they're going to have 2 wins in a row after being cooked in. They're going to be feeling really high about themselves. It's a noon kick. It's going to be a blackout for Ohio State. What that means, I don't know, but it's kind of a slap in the face to Nebraska because what's Nebraska known for? The black shirt defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if Nebraska kind of looks at it like that, and knowing Nebraska, they will, as kind of a slap to the face. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup a week from Saturday.
We're being joined by Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Donnie, the running game has been a very, very big concern in recent weeks. You think there's more to it than the injuries? I mean, I think the one way of looking at it is that the injuries have really caught up to the offensive line, but there are those out there that believe that there's more to these struggles than just the injuries. Where do you think you fall on this?
First of all, when it comes to injuries, yes, everybody gets injured. Everybody is injured right now. They've had a tough first half of the season. But at the same time, when you have 5-star kids getting injured and you got 4-star kids as their backups, you still should be playing pretty well. And on Saturday night, they did not play well, especially when it came to the run offense. But that being said, Mike Weber and J.K. Dobbins, in my mind, might be trying too hard. You see them get 7-8 yard runs, and then they try to gash them into the outside and get more yards, and it actually hurts them more than helps them. Yeah, I think they're trying really hard to have that 50-yard run, that 50-yard breakout for a touchdown, or that 40-yard breakout for a touchdown. I think they just need to let what happens come to them, and then those long runs will happen later on down the road in that game.
Sure, although, I mean, boy, when you throw it as well as they have thrown it this year, you'd expect a few more things to open up for you in the running game. I thought that I was looking at numbers that were 100% inaccurate. When I looked at that box score, did Haskins really throw the ball 70 times?
Yeah.
72 times and pass it for 470 yards, both new Ohio State records, beating Arch Sleaster and his own record for pass attempts and passes completed. He completed something like 43 or something like that. So that's all well and dandy, but they didn't get the win.
Exactly. You know,
I mean, Ohio State is not the Texas Tech offense. Ohio State should be able to be a consistent 250-250 offense, being consistently good on the run and pass, not for throw for 470, 500 yards, and run for 20. That shouldn't be Ohio State football.
Well, I mean, and the biggest concern to me is they couldn't do it against Purdue. I mean, Purdue gets the leftover kids Ohio State can't get. I mean, that's a fact. The linebacker is from Columbus. I think he's a DeSales guy. He couldn't get to Ohio State.
The guy that had the pick six is from Hilliard Davidson.
There you go, yeah.
So, wow. I mean, you're going to have that. But, you know, but when you have Dwayne Haskins back there, and you know he's not a threat to run, and they're still running RPO and run pass option, well, that run from Dwayne Haskins is out the window. So you're not going to see anybody get fooled by his fake.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the worst slide in professional and college football. I mean, when he slides, it's cringeworthy. When he does run every now and then and gains 2-3 yards, you know, he really needs to work on his running ability. Like I said, I think it may have been a month ago. You know, he would be a great quarterback in the NFL in 1995. Tall. He can throw the ball a mile, very accurate, great arm, great release, cannot run worth a lick.
I'm interested to see how they handle this moving forward because especially early in games, and you know, slow starts plagued them at least to some degree earlier in the year. They were able to overcome that until last week. But I get the impression, and I know we'll probably revisit this later on, if they get out to a slow start, you feel like the identity is going to change, that maybe they'll start having to throw the ball 50 times a game?
Oh, I think the identity's already changed.
Yeah.
I think even when you come out on Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and wouldn't be surprised if they start running some zone reads instead of some RPOs. I wouldn't be surprised if they start running some power. You might see a tight end lineup in the backfield. You might even see J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber on the field at the same time and run some two-back. It might still be out of the shotgun formation, but at least there'll be something different that the defenses haven't seen and won't know what to do. Anything to get that running game going will help the passing game and vice versa, especially down in the red zone. Because right now in the red zone, if Dwayne Haskins isn't throwing, there's no threat whatsoever.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of that passing game, Austin Mack out indefinitely. And it's expected that Benjamin Victor is going to step in and start in his place. What do we know about him, and what does he offer?
You know, Victor is a very tall receiver. He offers a great red zone threat to throw the ball up in the air. You saw it a couple of times, once, I believe, against Minnesota there in the fourth quarter, that kind of put the game away. He has had some problems with some drops. He's blocking a lot better. That's why he's been able to see the field. He had that great run and catch against Penn State that really opened things up for the Buckeyes. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some younger guys get in there, too. Someone like a Jalen Harris from Cleveland Heights High School. He might get in the mix as well, just to get another option out there for Dwayne Haskins. The good thing is about the injury to Austin Mack, not that an injury is a good thing, but the wide receiver depth on this team is the best it's ever been, I think. And that might be the good thing about this is it happened in the wide receiver group where you have a lot of backups that can play well.
Well, you need that when you're throwing the ball 70 times a game. You need options, no question about that.
And you also need ice for Dwayne Haskins' arm after the game because I'm sure it felt like it was falling off afterwards.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, Dunny, week 10 of the high school football season coming up. I know you guys will be really busy tomorrow night. Where do they have you headed? And give us an idea as to what that Columbus playoff picture looks like. Where are you guys going week 10?
I'll be heading. Week 10 is always busy for us. It's rivalry weekend all over. You have the Sales in Upper Arlington. I'll be at, or not the Sales in Upper Arlington, Dublin Kaufman in Upper Arlington. I'll be going to the Sales and Bishop Watterson. I'll also be hanging up to Northland as they host Beechcroft. Our Get Set Before You Bet game of the week, though, is Whitehall and London. Whitehall is 8-1, London 9-0. Look out for KJ Price from London, a great running back. That battle is for the MSL, for the Mid-State League, and big conference game, and both teams need a victory to secure their place in the playoffs. So it's going to be a great matchup and a great night at First and 10 tomorrow night.
Good stuff, Donnie. Hey, we appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.